Everybody hear me okay? All right. So, first order of business. If you do not have one of these books and you're going to be in the Self-Control of Christ class, it would be good for you to pick one up. They're on either side of the table there where you give your offering and pick up the Lord's Supper. Back in the back. And because we're going to refer to that a lot. I know there were a lot of folks that were probably out of town this past Wednesday. And I had the book sitting out there then and asked everybody to go ahead and look at the questions in the front of the outline. And that's what we're going to do first, is we're going to talk about those questions. And, you know, they're not back-breaking questions. They are individual questions to each of us. But still, hopefully, even if you didn't have an opportunity to look at the lessons or the questions prior to this morning, then you can do so this morning, and it will kind of give you an indication of some of the things that we want to be able to talk about. So again, if you're going to be in this class, you need this book right here. It's in the back, folks. And even if you're visiting and you want to just borrow one for the day, you can certainly do that and then just put it back there, or if you want to take it, and it's only got two lessons in it. And we'll have all of it online here a little bit later. I'll tell you what I would like to do, and that is have an opening prayer. So if you would please bow your heads and pray with me as we begin the class this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for this another day that you've given us, for the opportunity that we have to come together this morning to study from your word, to later in our service and the worship service to remember your son and his sacrifice, to lift our voices in praise to you. We are so very thankful for everything that's been done for us. We pray as we go through this class now that you'll give me a good remembrance of the things that I have studied and prepared for the class. Be with everyone that's in the class and help us all to examine our lives and see what we need to individually do to be better prepared to exhibit the kind of self-control that would reflect Jesus in our lives every day. Please forgive us where we fall short, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, self-control. I don't have all of the answers. I'm working on it all the time and have been for a long time. But guess what does have all the answers? God's Word. It does. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus. We're also going to look at the life of a lot of other people, too, with regard to self-control. So as I said, if you don't have a notebook, okay, I'm pushing the button. And nothing's happening. Let's try again. There we go. Okay. So, first of all, you need a notebook. And again, we're getting the projectors replaced. They've been ordered. As soon as they get in, they'll be that bright, but that big. So, hopefully that'll help. Just kind of bear with us in the meantime. If you don't have a notebook, please do that. Of course, this is a Sunday morning only class. On Wednesday night, it'll be the Deuteronomy class that Eric Borlaug will be teaching, and you want to pick up a copy of that if you're going to be in here for that. But we are going to be on Lesson 1, the introduction today. And I had asked everybody basically to look at the questions and review Lesson 1 if you had an opportunity to get the book on Wednesday night. And if you haven't, that's fine. What I'll try and do in each one of the classes is it has Lesson 1 and Lesson 2 in the book this morning. So then next Sunday, I will bring you Lesson 3 so that you'll have Lesson 3 to begin to work on so that you'll be prepared to come in class, have the lesson, have the opportunity to read it, look at the scriptures, and be ready to go. So you'll be able to do that today for Lesson 2. So this next week, review Lesson 2 and just see what you can get from that, and then we'll talk about it next Sunday morning. As I said, I do not have all of the answers, but God's Word does. It's going to tell us everything that we need to do to help us better make our lives what God would have them to be. I am a work in progress. Is anybody else? Bill, are you a work in progress? How many birthdays have you had, if you don't mind sharing? A few, right? Okay. He says a few. What about you, Jim? Are you a work in progress? Absolutely. Every day, I don't care what your age is. And if you don't think you are a work in progress, you need to ask yourself that question again. Because that's the way life is. And that's what we do every day to try and put ourselves in a position to be better suited to serve God. So let's look at the questions. We're going to start out by getting everybody engaged and involved. And I've got a lot of material to cover, but I'm going to try to make sure if I miss something, if I don't get to cover something exactly like I wanted to, we won't come back to it because there's a lot that you can look at in the lesson and hopefully you'll be able to get the point for yourself. First question, describe what this scripture means to you, Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule, oversight, or self-control, look at that how you want to, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a broken down, a city broken down without walls. What does that scripture say to you? And when you say something, speak up. Elevate the volume of your voice for the class to be able to hear. Don't be bashful. Okay, worthless. Donna says worthless. If you are like a city, or if you are like somebody that has no rule over his own spirit, it's like a city broken down without walls. Right. So the walls were a way to protect the city. It was to take care of the women, the children, the food, the supplies, the quality of life that you would enjoy every day. And that's what they were going to do. If somebody was going to take a city, they'd tear the walls down. David Lamphere talks a lot about building hedges around your relationships to protect your relationship. What else do you get out of that verse? There you go. Protect what's coming in, but also be concerned with what's going out with regard to who we are and how we act and how we represent ourselves. Anything else? Okay, good comments. Thank you. Number two, Galatians 5:16-26, the writer describes the walking in the flesh or the spirit. What fruits of the Spirit in the passage most impact walking in the Spirit from your perspective, the way you look at it? Anything particular? They're all important. Sir? Doing God's work. What else? We've got to walk in the light. We've got to be determined to walk in the light. What else? I know it's New Year's Day. Everybody, yeah, but it's okay. Jump on in there at any time. Those are good comments. Number three, write down three good solid habits that help define and shape the person that you are for God. Give me one. Somebody. Prayer. Absolutely, prayer. How important is prayer? Prayer is number one. I mean, it's really important. Reading the Bible. Two. Patience. Worship. Being part of an assembly and the interaction that you get with each other. What else? Anything else? You know, meditation, I think, is really important, too, because the Bible says think on these things. How many times we stop and think about something? that we really need to think about and dwell on and meditate on it to make it a part of who we are. We need to do that. Okay. Write down three destructive, question four, habits which are having negative impact or can have negative impact on your relationship with God. I've written mine down. Y'all tell me. What's a negative habit that can have, what's a habit that you have that involves self-control that you know can have negative impact on your relationship with God? Arthel says setting a bad example. Too much television. Boy, oh boy, I agree with that one. That's one of them that I wrote down. What else? Ron? Wasting time either on social media or indecision. Bill, you said the friends that you choose, right? Anger. What? Gossip. Not enough patience. Not enough patience. Not being able to take self-control and make it part of who we are. And that's true to all of those things that we said. And I'm going to show you some things that I think are interesting in just a minute that help us understand some of that. Okay. Do you see things in your life that you know reflect you're struggling with self-control, and what are you doing to change those things? And you don't have to answer those questions. That's kind of an answer it for yourself kind of question. But if you know that you see things in your life that exhibits a lack of self-control, what are you going to do to fix it? What are you going to do to fix it? But you know what? That requires honesty. That requires honesty with me. That requires me looking at myself the way, who sees me? God. It requires me looking at myself the way God sees me. Now that's something to meditate on right there. Seeing me the way God sees me. So how do I get that kind of perspective on how God sees me? Through His Word. Thank you, Anthony. He talked about James, the fifth chapter, where we look in the mirror. We've got to conform to what God's Word says. We got to see ourselves the way God sees us. And then my last question is, what do you hope to learn from participating in the class? And again, that can be an individual thing. But anybody want to answer that one? What do you hope to learn by participating in the class? How to be better, Sister Jean says. I want to be better. I tell you what, it's already in working on this, and I have been for some time. And honestly, I've been thinking about this for 4 years. And there's things that I work on all the time with regard to self-control, and we've all got to work on. Because if we're going to be what God wants us to be, it requires us making an effort to make changes in our lives every day. Every single day. Here we go. And what this says right here is that ultimately, if we have no motivation or purpose to develop self-control, our spiritual life is going to be empty. It's going to lack direction. And we can't see ourselves as God sees us. So we've got to have some kind of motivation and purpose. Our theme 2 years ago was, does anybody remember what it was? What's God's purpose for me? What's God's purpose for me? What am I doing to fulfill the purpose that God has given me? And then if we don't have purpose and we don't have any motivation, what motivates you? What are things that motivate you and why? Why do you get motivated about something? Because what? You're excited about it? Why else do you get motivated about something? I'm going to do this. What? the reward associated with the motivation of what you're going to get as a result of it being important. So we've got to make sure that we've got motivation. We know what that is. We got to make sure that there is a purpose to our desire to develop self-control. In a minute, I'm going to show you why it's so important. And the goal of this class is to help us be closer to God, to help us better understand how we can have joy and peace and live more intentionally in our lives every day. Because Christian living is intentional living. Satan doesn't want us to live an intentional life. Satan wants to put all kinds of roadblocks in us, in front of us, to keep us from living the way that God wants us to live. And we've got to decide what's important to us and then live accordingly. And in the class, we're also going to seek to better understand what self-control is, learn from the teachings and life of Christ and a lot of others and how they developed and used self-control and faith. And also what we've got to do is we've got to create new habits to help us remain focused on living stronger Christian lives. So that's the goal of this class. So now it all began Genesis 1, 26 and 27. What's it talk about there? What? What happened in Genesis? The beginning, John says. God created us. And when he created us, he created us in his image. And when you look at what he did with us and how he made us, you look at our brain. The brain determines every aspect of your life, and without our brain, there's no self and there is no awareness of the world. Brain is important. The brain is a 3-pound universe. And if I were to ask you before I showed you that, I wonder how many of you would have even thought that number would be the case. Would you imagine that we process 70,000 thoughts a day? 70,000 thoughts a day. It's just amazing me to think that that's what is going on up here in all that gray matter. And as we're doing that, this 3-pound organ in our head uses 100 billion neurons that connect at more than 500 trillion points through synapses that travel 300 miles an hour. So your brain's running about 300 miles an hour. And through all of that, it helps us to create memories, develop thoughts, feelings, emotions, some of the things we were talking about earlier. And through all of our life experiences, through the perspective that we develop in life, we begin to create patterns of activity that are as a result of how we code things in our brain. And I'm not a science guy, and I'm not a doctor, but I thought it was really important to understand a little bit about some of this and talk about it as it relates to how we do what we do. The thoughts, the memories, the skills, the sense of self happens here, and it also happens in connection with our heart. And that's all from the Cleveland Clinic. So, in a short way of looking at it, our brain says, don't think this or do this, stop. Our brain says, yes, do this and do that and think this. So that's a real fundamental way of thinking about that. But when you think about all these neurons, and I was looking at pictures of what all of this looked like, and it's just amazing to me. So I had to try and think of another way that we might be able to relate to it when we think about how our brains work. In 2019, a car set the land speed record of 304 miles per hour. I think this is right. This is what I found. It was a Bugatti Chiron. The guy got up to 304 miles an hour, and it happened as a result of what was going on in this right here. When we control and direct our thoughts, then what happens? We're able to keep the road on the car on the road. But if we don't control and direct our thoughts, it's like driving down the road at 300 miles an hour with your hands not on the wheel. And I thought it was important to think a little bit about that as we got into this, because we need to understand how important it is to control the connection between our brains and our hearts every minute, every hour, every day, every week, and every month. Because collectively, that determines who we are. And so now, the definition of self-control. It's called, the Greek word is enkratia. And the word is found only four times in the Bible, Acts 24:25, Galatians 5:23, 2 Peter 1:6. In Acts 24 and 25, we see this is an example of somebody that was over Paul, Felix, responsible. He was in a powerful position, but he was not a godly man. He saw what Paul stood for. He saw how Paul lived his life. He listened to Paul, and he had some confidence in what Paul said. But he was interested, but not willing to give himself over to the things that he needed to do to exhibit self-control in his life. Acts 24 and 25. Galatians 5, 23, where it talks about self-control as the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit's in Galatians 5, 22 through 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. So when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we see that self-control, can you see how self-control with regard to the fruits of the Spirit can be a very fundamental component of how we implement the fruits of the Spirit in our lives every day? Somebody said a while ago, anger can potentially be a problem. If we are going to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit it talks about in Galatians 5, 22 through 26, at the foundation of that, it's got to be self-control. We've got to have self-control as part of who we are to be able to let those fruits of the Spirit be revealed. Any comments on that? Go over to 2 Peter. That's the other place that it specifically says self-control. And I believe self-control is basically, the concept of self-control is said a lot of other different ways throughout the Bible that we're going to talk about one example today that's in the lesson. But if you go over to 2 Peter, the first chapter, where it refers to self-control again, and that's where it's stated specifically in that translation. The word, again, when you look at it in each of these situations, it's the virtue of one who maintains his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. And there's another Greek word that's closely related to that, and it is called ekratis, and it says that it means to master, restrain, or curb. Master, restrain, or curb. Okay? So as we think about those things and we look at those scriptures, then we need to understand that these definitions show us that the root cause of not having self-control can be being self-centered, because self-control deals with our desires. Does anybody ever have any desires? Desires for good things, sometimes desires for bad things. And, you know, again, I don't expect you to raise your hand on that, but I know we all do. I mean, it's just the way it is. We've got to decide how we're going to control it, how we're going to direct it, what is going to keep us on track with making sure that we're what God wants us to be. And what does it say in 2 Peter, the first chapter, and down through verses 11? Mike just did a series on that this last year, where he was talking about 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. In the first few verses, it talks about we have received this great salvation that has been given to us, and through God, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness through His Son, Jesus Christ, through what has been written for us. And because of all of that, because of what has been given, that we have been given these great and precious promises, that we can be partakers in verse 4 of the divine nature of God because we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is lust? What's another word for lust that we just mentioned? Desire. Yeah, it has to do with sexual things, but can it also, can we lust after other things? And Satan's made it such that they don't even look like bad things. I mean, the world we live in today, it's amazing how Satan has gotten us to believe just about everything is okay. There's just not... Well, I'll get to my next slide and I'll show you what mine is. But my question to you is, what's one word that we can use to reinforce what it means to you? What's one word for you personally that could also be self-control? And if you see me making notes, I'm taking notes to try and help flesh some of this stuff out. I'm going to tell you what mine is. You tell me what else self-control might mean. Based on thinking about what you got to do with your brain. You're in a 300-pound, or excuse me, and you're in a 3-pound brain driving 300 miles an hour. What are you going to do to keep it on track? Concentration? Focus? What else? Restrain? Who said restrain? What else? Bill, did you say pray? Pray. Pray. I got my hands on the wheel. But help me. What else over here? Purpose. I like that one too. What else? Meditate. I think that's right. Anybody else? Yeah, and you can make notes about this stuff as we go. And if you come up with anything else, send it to me. But here's the one that really kind of speaks to me, and that's restraint. That's restraint. Because I don't know about you, but it's like I'm not halfway about anything. I'm either all in or I'm not. And when I'm all in, it's like, here we go. I'm all in. But then when I'm not, it's like, oh, okay. It's like I take my hands off the wheel. Do y'all ever do that? Some things you restrain yourselves, and some things it's like, hey, let's see what this is going to be like without any hands on the wheel. Remember, we have control of what's going on between here and here, and ultimately it's manifest in how we live our lives every day. That's a great one too. Well, love. If we practice love, then we got to practice all the other things associated with it. That's awesome. So, restraint. Galatians 5:16-17 says that, back to the fruits of the Spirit prior to that verse, it says, you're going to walk one way or the other. There's no straddling the fence. You're either going to be a part of the world or you're going to be a part of God. You're going to be part of the flesh or you're going to be a part of the Spirit. And what is going to manifest which one we choose? How's that going to be manifested? Actions in our lives every day. Actions in our lives every day. So if I sit around like a lump all the time, and all I do is watch TV, or I play video games, or I don't do anything that engages my brain and my heart and love in trying to be something that God wants me to be, what am I doing? What am I doing? And how should it have impact on my life every day? I'm of the flesh or I'm of the Spirit, and I've got to choose. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we submit ourselves to God and we restrain what we do or don't do to try and put ourselves in a position to be more of what he would have us to be, we're going to be more of what God would have us to be in our lives every day. That's what we've got to decide about. That's what we've got to decide we're going to be committed to or not going to be committed to. Romans 8:28 says what? All things work together for good to those that are called according to the Lord, called according to His purpose, basically. We got to decide if our lives are going to be lives that are directed by God in the way that we live every day. And so, nobody can really answer that question for us except for us to answer that question ourselves. And Hebrews 13:20-21 says, "Now, may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." What's that say? What's that say to you? We are what God wants. It's what it says to me. We are what God wants us to be through Jesus Christ. And this class is about self-control like Christ. And Christ set an example. He had the word put before us in His life, but it was also recorded for the men that followed Him through the Holy Spirit for us to understand what it is we're to do to please God, to be complete, to be who He would have us to be. His blood and the covenant of His blood empowers us. His death alone can make us complete to do the good works and be revealed in our lives the kind of self-control that He's going to be pleased with. When we don't practice self-control in our lives, what does that say to God? Jim. Right. Right. Inspiration in the Bible, and then taking that inspiration and trying to apply it to our lives to the best of our ability. Every day, and the things that people see in us. And even if somebody reacts poorly to us, how do we react to them? That's another one of those self-control things too, right? That's being an example. That's being what God wants to do, wants us to be. Galatians 2:19-20 says what? Anybody know? Have you got it? It says, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What's that say? Simple terms. What does it say? Die to the flesh, let Christ live through us. Die to the flesh, let Christ live through us. Anytime we're doing something that we know we shouldn't, anytime that we're thinking something that we shouldn't, anytime we're looking at something that we shouldn't, anytime we're having a thought that we know we shouldn't, we need to think about whether or not we have crucified ourselves and let Christ live through us. That's looking at ourselves like God looks at us, right? So that's what I'm trying to challenge myself to do, and I want to challenge you to do too.
And there is no neutral position.
No. That's right. Amen. Donna? Remember who you are. David says that a lot on Wednesday nights when he's got the announcements and he reads the scripture. Remember who you are. But, you know, we can't just, to Donna's point, we can't just remember who we are when it's Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We got to remember who we are every single day. Because our lives are made up of minutes and hours and weeks and months and years. And Todd and I were just talking about it before we got started. How has 2022 gone so fast? Now we're in 2023. And Todd was like, how can I be X years old? And I said, how can I be 66? I just turned 66 in December. I'm happy to have had 66 birthdays because some of the poor choices I made early on in life, I wondered if I'd make it past 25. But here I am at 66. So God's still working on me. And we've all got to be open to let Him work on us to try and be the best that we can be and represent Him in a way that He's going to be happy with who we are. So I'm not going to be able to get into that like I wanted to, but if you think about the account in Daniel, the third chapter, if you want to turn your Bibles over there and look at that, I won't be able to read all of it like I really wanted to be able to, but it will help us to understand a really important point with regard to faith, with regard to commitment, with regard to self-control, with regard to all of those things. So, in Daniel's chapters 1 and 3, and we all know what happens there. Daniel and his friends are taken to come and serve the king. They are taken away from their home, and they are put in a position where they are to be servants to the king, basically. So they were being prepared for service to the king, and they ask them, you know, here's all the food that you need to eat and all the things that you need to be prepared to be in front of royalty. But what did Daniel say with regard to all of that? He said, I'm not going to defile my body by eating this food. And in Daniel, the first chapter in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. It was thought that this could probably have been food that was used to serve idols. It would have been unclean. They were not going to do that, so they wanted to be able to eat the food that they knew would nourish their bodies and take care of them, and that's what they did. And the chief eunuch took care of them at their request, and everything worked out great, and they were elevated into positions of responsibility as a result of that, as opposed to just being in a servant's responsibility. Then the second chapter, we know about the king requesting the dreams to be interpreted. His people couldn't do it. Daniel could. Again, Daniel and his friends were elevated. And then in the third chapter, the king wants to elevate himself, has this statue made of himself covered in gold. Look at me. Everybody, when this happens, everybody's going to bow down and worship the king. Everybody's going to bow down and worship me is basically what he was saying. Pay homage to your great leader. But what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say and do? In the third chapter and verse 16, look at that with me if you will. Because all of the king's leaders, they were trying to take them out. They said, this is a great opportunity to get rid of these guys that were elevated positions of power that they shouldn't be in the first place. And this is one thing about their example. Those guys knew what they were going to do. They knew they were going to remain faithful. They figured they would be anyway. And it was a way to get rid of them. So when they would not bow down and worship the idol of the king, in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from you, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you've set up. And that was it. And the king, before they said that, said, you better do this or you're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. What does he do? He has them thrown into the fiery furnace. And what happens? And what's interesting to me in that is in verse 17, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from you, your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you've set up. What'd that say about these guys? They had a lot of faith. What else did it say about them? Say it again. They were not afraid of the consequences of doing what was right. They purposed in their heart that they were going to be faithful to God. Can you imagine the level of self-control that it would have taken to have said, okay, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace, and the scripture says seven times whatever it normally is. What I read basically said it means just as hot as you can get it. It was so hot, in fact, the guys that were taking them up to put them in the fire, they were burned up and just taking them to the fire. Have you ever burned your hand? It hurts, doesn't it? I've done it on a motor. I've done it on a skillet. I've done it, you know, several different ways before. But it hurts a little place. But they went into that fiery furnace because of the self-control, the confidence, the love they had for God, to Lou Allen's point, the love for the truth. And then how did that all work out? It worked out to the good, not only for them, but for all of their people. And while it seemed like Nebuchadnezzar had learned something from it, it really didn't. Because in the next fourth chapter, what's happening to him before it's over with? He's got such a high opinion of himself, and he says, look at everything that I've done. And the next thing, and Daniel's trying to tell him from another dream, don't go there. try and listen to what I have to say to you, and maybe this will be delayed. And what did he end up doing? On his all fours, out in the fields, like a beast, for 7 years. Maybe you learned a little something like that. So what about us? What does it take in our lives for us to learn how important it is to serve God, to be committed, to have purpose, to know what matters, to control our 300-mile-an-hour, 70,000-thought-a-day brain and connect it with our hearts in the way that we live, in the things that we do and we say, in the example that we are to other people? How do we get there? How do we get there on a regular basis? Yeah, you have to decide every day if it's going to be things of the world or godly things. And again, it's from the time that you open your eyes. What's that? Be consistent, Gary said. So, because we've got so many things, and I'll tell you what, because I know, because I've done it, and I had to restrain myself to not do it, it's so easy. You roll out of bed, you get your phone, you want to look at the news. Well, I'm going to check out the news. I'm going to look at the national news. Now let me look at the local news. Now let me look at social media and see what's going on. And before you know it, you've spent X amount of time on something that means very little with regard to how it might control or direct your thoughts in a positive way at the very beginning of the day. Have y'all ever done that? What should we do to control and direct our thoughts and show self-control when we start? We should pray. We should read our Bibles. We should think about who we are and what we want to be in everything that we do and say all day. Okay, great. Thank you for your participation. Lesson 2 on next Sunday morning. Appreciate it.